Welcome back to the Thinking Big podcast. I'm your host, Sean Osborne, and today we're diving into the heart of transformation. We're exploring the boundless benefits of surrounding yourself with the right people. So strap in, open your mind, and get ready to challenge the status quo. Let's think big and start our journey to a more successful and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Thinking Big podcast with Sean Osborne, the show helping you think bigger into your life and potential. Sean believes by equipping you with the tools, strategies, and philosophies required to be successful in all aspects of your life, you can achieve anything you believe in. Empowering our own growth makes a deeply positive and lasting impact on our lives, community, and our world. Now, here's Sean.
Hey, Thinking Big listeners, this episode is brought to you by The Secrets of Success. This community is designed for individuals who seek more than just fleeting motivation and are ready to actively pursue their goals with certainty and without sacrificing any fulfillment. So if you are not just content with liking motivational content, but are committed to becoming the change that you wish to see in the world, it offers a blend of historical wisdom, practical application, and a very supportive community for personal and professional growth. So just click the link in the show notes and see what The Secrets of Success is all about. Today's special guest is the one and only Jason Frizzell. With a reputation that precedes him as a top-tier coach for the movers and shakers in technology, Jason is the go-to expert for personal branding, helping CEOs, executives, and hustlers alike carve their unique paths. He's the founder of Jason Frizzell Coaching, delivering personalized coaching, dynamic group sessions, and enlightening workshops. Before embracing the coaching world, Jason dazzled the tech industry, achieving numerous accolades in his sales. He's a certified Gallup Global Strengths Coach and an Everything DISC practitioner, transforming his passion into a profession and guiding others to do the same. Well, Jason, it is so good to have you on the show with us today. And first thing I really wanted to talk with you about is because I had just one hellacious weekend this past weekend with you. I'm never going to be the same. You guys have tainted me for life. I will never be the same.
In the best way possible, Sean. In the best way possible.
In the best way possible. So I want to, and again, this is one of the reasons why I want to have you on the show is, to me, one of the most important things that I've done in my career, in my growth, and anything that I've done has been getting around people that are either ahead or at where I'm at, that are, I'm following people that are at a place that I want to be. And I think that is the, to me, that is the most crucial thing. The first thing any person wanting to succeed in anything, whether it's your relationship, your finances, whatever it is, get around the people that are where you want to be. Point blank. That's the number one thing that, that we can do. And so we have been together for, God, I want to say a couple of years in a mastermind group that we're both part of. That, again, I think it's whether you're, you know, people listening right now, whether you're in a paid mastermind group, whether you're in a free mastermind group, you get together with some other, you know, entrepreneur buddies, whatever it is, and you just think and you just talk and you just iron things out in your head and with the group. It is so, so big. And that's, again, that's what our mastermind group is. But last week we got a couple of us together at your Airbnb in Jersey Shores, which by the way is very nice.
It is. The Jersey Shore is, it's much better than most people expect when you actually go, isn't it?
I was thinking there was going to be, it was going to be the middle of garbage. And it's like, man, that was the nicest beach, is the nicest place. It was beautiful out there.
It is nice.
But we got together with three other, me, you, and two others, and just did a really good weekend mastermind with each other where we talked about what how things went for this year, how things are going to go, you know, what our goal is for next year. It's just such an important thing to do. I mean, what did you get from our live mastermind together?
Yeah, I was talking to a mutual friend about this. I want to say something overall about just the concept of mastermind, Sean, is be with people that are where you're at or ahead. But the thing that's been interesting for me is it's, you don't necessarily just learn how they did it all the time. It's just having the friendship and the support to bounce ideas. You know, I do, I'm a coach. I know you're a coach. So we know that the wisdom is generally inside of us, not through being taught by somebody else. And yes, there's things that we need to be taught, but I love the power of the mastermind because it isn't so facilitative where it's like, here's how you do this thing.
Right.
I think online courses are great for that, the kind of the asynchronous communication. So back to your question about what did I take from it? Well, the first thing I was sharing, and I'd recommend this to anybody who's in this format, create a space to not have a time constraint. That was magical. And I was talking to Lauren Davis about this, podcast guest, friend of ours. And I said, and she goes, what was great? And I said, well, the output was great. I got a ton out of it. It felt good to give. But the fact that we just got to show up and just be there for each other with no time constraints, because speaking for myself, and I know you're the same with everything you have going on and everybody listening, how often in our life do we have no time constraints to just support somebody else? I can count on one hand this year when I'm like, hey, I'm going to wake up, we're going to do this thing, and we're just going to do it till we're done with no time constraints between family, friends, you know, mastermind that we're in is a time thing. So the big thing for me overall from the format is, can you create this in a way that doesn't have a time constraint? Meaning that, hey, Sean, what do you need? How long do you need? And then don't worry about it and just do it. The other thing I took, well, I took a lot of things. The other big thing I took was, and I shared this with the group, all of us are on our own journey, and all of us have our own version of the business. And all of us, I would say, could argue, are successful. But all of us still show up in not our best mode because we all have that thing inside of us, of whether it be lowering your price, or I don't have anything anybody wants to hear about, or can't raise the funds, whatever the thing is. And I think that's pretty universal, no matter who you are, whether you're a huge brand or small, but just like, we're all just human at the end of the day, trying to make our way. And we all have our limiting beliefs. And the last thing I'll say about that, Sean, is the only thing in anybody's way, but especially the four of us, is just ourselves. It's very apparent. I know that for me.
Yep.
I'm the only thing that's standing in my way. Like me, my consistency, my drive, and my ability to get over the feeling of something and just doing it. So those are just some key lessons that I took from it. How about you? What were some things you took?
Well, there were some time constraints because we had to have time for you to take naps. I learned we did that have you like...
that, yeah, well, we had to have time for the four-hour nap because, as we know, that is a healthy thing.
No. We have time for naps when we're gone. You have eternity to nap.
You know what I'm going to do, Sean? This topic, I know that our friend is going to have this topic. Robert's going to like this topic. I am going to, on my podcast, I'm going to have a nap expert come on, and we're going to talk about the power of naps. And then I'm going to send you this episode and make you listen to it over and over again until you understand.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Your audience is going to fall asleep.
Perfect.
They're going to take a nap.
Perfect. Yeah, we did carve out some time for some rest. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think you hit the nail on the head on part of that. It's not that we teach each other detailed things, technical things. We can. There's things that we teach. Sure. It's like, hey, this is a thing that's working for me. But it is really about getting in what I call the vibrations of each other. I think each person is operating at a vibration. And that vibration, I can tell you this, the vibration that Elon Musk is at, or Tony Robbins, that's at a much higher vibration than I'm at. I need to be honest with myself. I mean, they are operating at a very high vibration, but it's when we get around these other vibrations, we start picking up those vibrations. We start picking up that energy. We are all energy. And when we're around people, whether it's either through Zoom like this, I'm still picking up your energy, even though we're not in the same room right now. And I think, so that's a huge thing on it is we're able to pick up on the energy of the people around us. And that really gets embedded into our energy. Our energy shifts when we are with these people.
Yeah.
And with the inferior complex, you know, I think you said it, everyone goes to that. It's called being human. And it is. It's like, I remember one of my best moments from a business standpoint or a financial standpoint is when I sold my first company. For years, I still felt like a fake. And it's unbelievable that you people would look at me and say, Sean, you're successful. You've done all these things. You've sold your company. You've taken, you know, look at, you're about taking it public. Yet I still felt like a fake. And it's like, we do that to ourselves. It's our own limiting, you know, what we believe is a limitation is just holding us back. It's just our own perception of what's holding us back. Yeah. And I think it's, in getting around people and doing masterminds, the first thing I tell people when anybody comes to me for any type of coaching is number one, get in a form of a mastermind, because that will start the bed of the growth of whatever it is you're looking at, whether it's a general mastermind or a very niche mastermind. You know, it's like there's masterminds that are just for lawyers or just for whatever the niche is. But a general mastermind of where everyone's object of the group is to grow and to get better, at a minimum for people. That's the number one thing I recommend to people.
Sean, I want to mention something about masterminds just to clarify for the audience. And you run a mastermind, just going to say you run a great mastermind. We met in a different mastermind. What Sean and I are talking about is not what people call masterminds. That's actually a place to sell you something. And most of us, imagine your audience likely gets these on LinkedIn as well. I know I do. And I got one recently said, hey, I have an invite to a free mastermind where we're going to talk about X, Y, and Z. And that's great. But I know that there's an offer at the end of it, which I am all about the offer and all that. But that's not what you and I are talking about. We are talking about something that you and I pay for, and people that are in yours, they pay for it and they come and it's just support. There's no offer. There's no additional selling. There's no, hey, here's my one-on-one package. It's just like you get what you paid for. And just want to clarify that, because I think mastermind is a term that's thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
And which I think is okay. But I also believe that it creates confusion in the marketplace. So I want to clarify for everybody what you and I are specifically talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everybody is calling everything a mastermind these days, and it really is muddying things up. So again, so our mastermind groups, the way that, that me and you do those, the way that, the ones that we're in, it's a small group of people, no more than 10 or 12 people. Each person has a seat at the table. No one is the lead. There's a facilitator to a mastermind group, but that facilitator is just like everybody else. They're just facilitating things. And, their job is to get the right people in there, but it's our job in there to do the peer coaching, to do the masterminding. And I truly believe in Napoleon Hill's version of a mastermind, and his theory was when you get two or more minds together, you link to a third mind, a mastermind. And I think that is so true to these masterminds. We get these small group of people and they don't exchange. It's like we are the same group for at least a year. I mean, there's one or two will leave and one or two will come in, but in general, it's at least a year or two that you are with people. They know you, they know your tendencies. They can call you on your BS. They can, they can tell you like it is, and it's their job. It's our job as mastermind participants to tell it like it is. Like, Jason, I'm sorry, but I think you're slacking.
You got to stop taking naps, man.
It's holding you back, man. It's holding you back. You could be 2 years ahead of where you are right now if you didn't take all those naps.
You would have a big email list. You would have grown that thing if you'd stopped taking a 3-hour nap every afternoon.
It's killing you, my friend. It's killing you.
Oh, it's killing me.
So I think those are absolutely huge and just so beneficial. It's so nice to be able to get with people like you. And it's just like people in the mastermind groups become your lifelong friends. They really do. It's not a course. It's not a webinar. It's not a coaching thing. It's a coaching thing, but it's a peer coaching thing. It's not
peer coaching.
There's no, So I think so thanks for bringing up that clarity, because.
Yeah. It's been a phenomenal structure for me. It's one of the core support structures of my entrepreneurial journey is having the others who understand what it's like to be on that ride and be able to bring that up. And it's really powerful. And like you said, there's a million different types of masterminds where niche and all those. But I will say one thing, Sean, I appreciate not being in a niche mastermind. I know that you and I come from similar coach training and everything. The truth is I'm surrounded by coaches all the time and I love coaches and that's part of the work I do, but I really enjoy being in a mastermind where not everybody does. Like one of the people we were to just call him out, James, he's the CEO of a pretty decent sized nonprofit. He does coaching work with his team, but he does not have a business like you and I have. He has a global nonprofit. And so I really appreciate getting the universal truths across various things, as opposed to I'm in a coach mastermind and it's a bunch of coaches talking about the same things. I could kind of find that elsewhere. So I really appreciate having a wide variety of experiences.
Yeah. And it's like, so I look at ours, the one that me and you are in, as kind of a very big niche one, but it's like all of us are entrepreneurs in some form or fashion. We're trying to build things. We're trying to do things. So we're entrepreneurs in a sense, but yeah, it's not a very high niche, you know, again, lawyers or copywriters or whatever it is that you do. And there's needs for those.
For sure.
There's things that you can learn in those things, but yeah, ours are definitely much more open to anybody that is really looking at trying to grow, trying to get further than they are now.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
And you brought up the, you know, that your leadership coaching and your facilitating. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I've noticed, one of my gifts is I can read people very well on like what their gifts are. It's like, I can work with someone for a short time and say, okay, you have an extreme gift in XYZ, mm-hmm. but as a leader of a company and as a leader of, you know, another corporation, a Fortune 100 company, leading teams in there, you get the ability to kind of read people quickly. And that's part of my job is making sure that we hire good people and we do that. But I think one of your gifts is really your facilitating. I know you do group coaching, but your mm-hmm. facilitating is really spot on. And mm-hmm. I want to talk to a little bit about your facilitating and why, what makes your facilitating different? Or mm-hmm. why you're, because you show up different than most facilitators.
I would love to hear more about this. This is the first time we're talking about this in this way. I'd love to hear more about your experience of this because I think I show up like most other facilitators I know, but I think this is because I have a specific context based on the facilitators that I work with.
That's possible. So I think you show up in a way that you cut to the chase, but it's a meaningful way. In other words, you're able to get to the good questions quickly. You're mm-hmm. able to discern the situation and really get to the meat of it and bring out the good stuff. And to me that goes back to coaching. That goes back to good coaching because as we both know, a coach, we don't tell people what to do. We let them experience and bring out what they need to do. So I think maybe it's, as I'm sitting here talking it out, it's maybe you have a very good way of bringing coaching style into the facilitating of a group.
Yeah. Can I share a little bit about my journey on the facilitation part?
As long as it doesn't include naps.
So the first thing I did is I decided I was going to take a 2-hour nap to noodle on this. I don't actually take that many naps. I just enjoy a good nap when I can. Sean's exaggerating a tiny bit, but not too much.
It was like we were at a retirement home.
And I was the youngest person there too, which is saying a lot. Bro, I'm just going to say this out loud. I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. I'm tired. This 3-year-old is wearing me out. And I know you got some grandkids about the same age, but so I think for me, it all starts with asking the question. This is how I look at it, Sean. I start by asking the question, who do I want to be in this space? And being aware of who I want to be. You and I know about this. We call this in the coach training that I went through. We call it our being or our essence. Like, who are we going to be in this space? And there are times when you need something that's a bit more directive or facilitative in terms of we need to get to this point, we're on a time constraint, etc. And there's other times when the room needs something. So I think one of my natural gifts that I'm always working on, so it comes naturally from being in sales. Also, I think I'm pretty decent at reading people. I'm good at reading groups of people generally. And we call this like reading the context of the room, the context of the group. So not just the context of Sean, what does he think? I mean, like, what is this group? What's the energy here? So that's the first thing is being aware of what the group wants. Number two, and I think I shared this with you all. When I learned that if you just shut up and ask people a couple questions, the magic is in the group. That is so fun and easier as a facilitator. I'm going to shout out a really great facilitation community called the Exchange Online, and they have a really great facilitation approach called the Exchange Approach. And John Berghoff, he's the CEO there. They train facilitators. I've gone through some of their work. It's really powerful. He loves, I love what he says here. This is my favorite thing he says. You can be a sage on the stage, or you can be a guide on the side, but you generally can't be both in a space. And the best facilitation I know is you're a guide on the side. Because the wisdom is in the group, the wisdom's in the audience, the wisdom's amongst the three of you or the four of us when we're doing a mini mastermind or 12 of us. And so you don't need to be heavy-handed. And what I've seen in some facilitations, it's heavy-handed. Here's the structure, and here's the five things we're going to talk about, and then it's these canned questions that don't really require people to think, like a lot of closed-ended questions don't require people to think. They answer it right away, and then you're left with, well, so what do we do now? Do we teach? Do we, what's next? So my experience with facilitation really comes down to trusting myself and trusting the group. And here's another secret for those who are interested in more of this type of work. Always have something in your back pocket. I always have something to pull from. I know you do as a coach too. If you sit with a client, they're like, I don't know what I want to talk about. I always have something. I always have a guiding way to go, but I don't generally just lead with that, because that might not be what the group wants. I will say I'm quite well-trained, went through a years-long coach training program that was very rigorous. This was part of it. And then I led that program for 3 years. And it's a very strenuous program. So you also learn, when you can lead a coach training and personal development program where people are crying, getting upset with each other, most other places you go into feels pretty easy.
You haven't been in any of my staff meetings.
No, I haven't been in Sean's staff meeting. So Sean and I are going to work out a contract right now. This is Jason. He's here. I'm going to be the good cop. Be like, so Jim, what is it about Sean's tone that has you a little peaked right now? Sean's staff meeting. And then I've gone through a couple other. I've gone through some DEIB work on inclusivity in a room. Very important. And then I'm a coach at a company called Life Hikes, previously known as Own the Room. We facilitate all day long. That's what we do. We train people on communication styles, and a lot of that is great facilitation work. So we get hired for that to do our own content, but companies are now starting to hire us as facilitators to deliver their content because we bring it in a unique way. I think for me, it's a combination of personality coming from sales. I love people. I love groups. I'm an extrovert, as you know, so I suck in that energy, coupled with if you just shut up and let other people do the work, if you just be quiet and ask a question and let it create itself, it works almost all the time. And then the last thing I'm going to give a huge shout out for, if anybody wants to be a great facilitator, take some improv classes. I love improv. You and I have talked about that. I was just in improv class last week. Improv is so good for facilitation because you don't know what's going to happen in that room. As much as you, it's what is it, Mike Tyson? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. We've all been in groups. Like, here's the agenda for today. And then 20 minutes in, you're like, this is not what I had planned.
This is like herding cats here.
Yeah. And then, you know, generally with smart people like you and I both work with, the, all right, let's get back to the agenda. Slide 26 is not a very compelling way to operate a meeting. No. So those are some things I would, I like to share about facilitation work. It's a skill that requires work and training, I think. And it's just something that I'm constantly working on where I can be better.
Yeah. And it shows. I mean, it shows. And I think the neat thing is, you know, you've talked about a lot of the things that you've done over the past, who knows, 10, 15 years, these trainings that you've gone through, these things that you've done. And it's funny, if anybody listening, just reflect for a bit. If you have a big idea or a big goal, like I know what my life goal, it's getting more and more clear over the years. Like, okay, here's how I want my big goal. Here's what my life is going to look like in the next 7 years. And then you just turn that crap over. So it's like, here's what I want to be. We can't sit there and say, well, how is it going to happen? What do I need?
Right.
Things are going to come to you. You know, so you had a goal, whether consciously or subconscious, like here's what I want my life to look like.
Yeah.
And these trainings, they come and they pop in and like, oh, that's, I need it. They come in when we need them. It's like, you know,
right.
Of the past year, you know, I've done, you know, we'll get into, you know, a public speaking thing. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But it's like all the things that I've kind of tapped into over the past 4 or 5 years has been obviously because my mastermind groups, but it's like you know what the big goal is, but then you all of a sudden become aware of the things that you need to do to get there without saying, okay, I need X, I need to do this, I need to do this. Forget that. Let it come to you. I mean, just be aware of the things that are coming to us. And so that, you know, there's reasons why you took all of those, you know, those trainings.
Yeah. Well, and I know we're going to talk about HPS a little bit later in the episode. You and I have had the opposite journey with HPS, which that is going to be a great conversation. Cause that, like what you just said, so resonates specifically around HPS for me.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, so, you know, part of my goal over the past, again, I didn't know how I was going to get to where I wanted to go, how I wanted Thinking Big to look in the long run. I didn't have the hows. I just knew that this is kind of what I wanted to do. And I just started, here's the thing. You just start taking action. If you start action, things are going to fall into place on, oh, by taking action, I know that this doesn't work. I need to go do this, or this doesn't work. I need to do this. So literally three things over the past year and a half have come in. You know, I'm writing my book, which has led to, well, if I'm going to write my book, I've got to be able to promote it. I've got to get on stages. So I went and did the HPS. So it's like, none of these things were planned.
No.
But they're in alignment with what my major life goal is in the next, you know, 5 years.
Yeah. And something you said there. Well, I think something that you said there that I've never been a real, I don't know, the woo-woo is the word. I've woo-woo. Always been like heart. Yeah. I think so. Woo-woo. Maybe. Is that a nap term too? Woo-woo? To
woo-woo? It fits right in.
It fits right in. Yeah. So, the more I do this work and the more I spend time with people, the more I believe there's something to the energy you put out, like really the energy you put out. You mentioned the people you spend time with, that is vibration. I think the vibration around what we empower in our lives, what we choose to do. And just thinking about my journey, when I went from a side hustle to a full-time coaching practice almost 5 years ago now, I had no idea that we'd be talking about what we're talking about today. Facilitation work, group work, training. And I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs come in, I'm going to do this and this is the way it's going to go. I've never met an entrepreneur who has told me, whether I've coached them or friends with them, this is what I wanted to do and I got there and this was the straight path, because it just is there's too many variables. And what we don't realize, and this was a huge aha for me, what we don't realize when we do anything in life is that we get in our own way and we create our own detours. Financially, putting out our gold into the world, hiring the wrong people, giving up too much of the company, like all these things that we end up doing, putting in our own way, which actually takes us off the path that we had planned for ourselves.
Yeah. And it's, so you said something on the limiting beliefs. And I think one of the things that I see with people is when they say they want to do these things, we put in these goals, you know, we put in these things that we want to do, and then we let our limiting beliefs dictate those ideas that are coming into us and say, yeah, that'll never work, Sean. It's like, so 5 years ago, I literally, there's no way you could ever get me on a stage in front of anybody talking, unless it was a board of directors or a business meeting. I can get up and talk. It's no problem. But in front of people, I was absolutely petrified to get up in front of people. Mm-hmm. So if I would have let that limiting belief, when I had the idea of, Sean, you need to learn, you need to get better on stages. In order to get where you want to go, you're going to have to use stages as one of your mechanisms to get to that goal, using that to influence and to be, you know, to have the message out that you want to have out. So, you know, again, I went to HPS and we'll talk about that. But if I let my limiting belief dictate the ideas that are coming in, we'll never get anywhere. We have to, and sometimes those limiting beliefs, it's like, sometimes it's a feather. It's like, oh, that's an idea. I've got to go do that. And sometimes, most of the time for me, I'm kind of, hard-headed, is it takes a 2x4 to get me to pay attention. It'll be a feather, then it'll be a pebble, then it'll be a rock. And then it's the big old 2x4 across the head. It's like, Sean, you need to go do this. And it's really paying attention to those ideas. Those ideas are the gifts that we get as we're putting stuff out to the universe of what I want. Here's the energy I want. Yeah. Those ideas are the thing that's coming back. And it's like, we always say, nah, that'll never work. That's a dumb idea.
Yeah. One more thing I want to offer here. I was thinking about this as you were talking, is yes, the 2x4, that resonates for me as well. Usually it's my own 2x4. Sometimes it's my wife's 2x4, but you know, either way,
Oh, she's got a 4x4, not a 2x4. Yeah,
she's got a 4x4. One thing that I find interesting is you hear people say how badly they want something. And I'm just going to use an example of a conversation. Newer coach starting their business, and they said, I really want to coach these type of people. Great. This is what they have a passion for, this type. I said, well, how are you connected to those people? Well, I'm not really. Okay, no problem. So what would you do to connect with them? Well, I'd go into Facebook groups and I'd go to some networking meetings. I said, but I don't think those people are in those groups, and they're certainly not the networking meetings. And this person isn't willing to invest in any sort of paid thing, which isn't the only way to do it. But you and I know that that is always going to be an accelerator. Yeah. And so I want, this is something I see for entrepreneurs, and I'm speaking to myself too, because there's areas in my business where I am living the same thing. Is people say they want something, but then if you watch them, you would not think they wanted it very badly. And I know you're a leader of people. You've been a leader of people. Like you said, you sold a company, and in your corporate career, you see this all the time in corporate. This is what I want. I want to grow my career in this. And you go, but your behavior and your output does not show me that at all. So the opposite. And so this goes back to I always believe the universe is paying attention to, well, you say you want this, but if I watched you, which universe, God, spirit, whatever you want to define that, is I'm watching you and I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing just the opposite. You're taking a nap instead of doing this thing. It always comes back to the nap. So I just want to offer that up to everybody listening to take a look at yourself. And somebody on my podcast, this gentleman, Alan Stein, I don't know if you know Alan, he's got some real gems. He said something, I don't know if he stole this or if this is his original. He said something like, you can know most of what you need to know about somebody. Most of what you need to know about somebody is their bank statement, their pictures on their phone, and their calendar. And with those three things, you can know almost everything about somebody. I said, yeah.
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 Easier, go to where they live. Because you become the people you're around. That includes your community. So yeah, if you are, if you're in a middle income housing, nice houses, but middle, that's where you're going to tend to be. You're going to be in that level. It really is. It's and we do, we that energy, we have to pay attention to that energy. I mean, we really do, because that's really where we, but yeah, you can absolutely find out who someone is based on very little data. And people have been saying this, you go back to what was Jim Rohn, you become the average of the five people you hang out with the most. There's power in proximity. It goes on and on. It's like, this is a known thing. It's not woo woo. It's not, it's a known thing that you take on the energy of who you're around.
Am I hearing you say, Sean, that you're finally going to start taking naps? Is that after spending some time with myself and one other person?
That would be a negative. I will take a nap. The thing is, I can't. I've tried taking naps, and my mind is going 1,000. I'm like,
you're too hyped. I like it.
Too much.
That's good.
Too much caffeine is like, I don't have time for this crap. Get up. Get shit done, Sean. Come on.
I've got AI to give prompts to.
Maybe I could teach AI to take a nap for me. That would be great.
That's the next wave, is how do you get AI to give you rest when you need it? Like actual rest.
They said they're teaching AI to keep people from being lonely. I just read that.
That was a movie 10 years ago called Her.
Yeah.
With Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. But that movie had a happy ending. A little bit happier than the dystopian future we might have in front of us now.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about heroic public speaking, or whether we name it or not. I mean, so big public speaking company. Mm-hmm. And so again, part of my journey, part of your journey was like something came into our lives and said, hey, this is something you need to do. This is something you need to focus on. It is a pretty high dollar training program for public speaking, or for acting or performing or however you want to call it. It was way more than I thought. I was thinking when I got in, I'm like thinking, okay, they're going to write my, my keynote. We'll practice it. And I've got all these slides. And it's like, yeah, that's not.
They're like, slides? We're not using slides here. Performers don't use slides.
So one of my onstage things, since Michael wouldn't let me put a slide up, I did a slide on a piece of paper and pinned it to my shirt.
He probably liked that. He probably thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So I had my damn slide.
You had your slide. Yeah, so you're like, nobody's going to tell me I can't have my slide.
But there's so much that I learned from that, going through that. And again, I'm sure there's other mini programs out there. This is just the one that we happen to go through. Mm-hmm. But just learning a new craft and learning something new. And to me, I know you're the same way, but we're either growing or we're dying. It's like we're either learning new stuff or we're withering away. There's no other way around it. What was that one quote? You're either at the table or on the menu. There's no in between. You're either eating or you're being eaten. And it's like doing things like that, that terrify you, that scare you, that take you out of your limits, or just, it's such an empowering thing for us to do, whether it's, the public speaking thing or whatever it is. But, that's one of the reasons why I went to HPS. It was one, I learned that I had to get better at that craft to get where I wanted to go. But so what was your journey through kind of HPS?
Yeah, I love this topic. It's, you and I have had, I mentioned this before, such a different path. So my journey to HPS, and I'll just tell you exactly how it went. About 5.5 years ago, had a calling for more than what I was doing. I was in sales, liked it, liked the money, liked the people, pretty good at it. But I just had this calling, there's something out there for me, and I didn't know what it was. So I started chasing things, and I don't mean that in a bad way. And I started with Creative Live, which is an online platform. It's kind of like it's kind of like Masterclass, only it's very similar to Masterclass. We're gonna get some affiliate revenue here, Sean. We're gonna start naming a bunch of brands. Michael and Amy are listening. They're gonna submit some things here. This is gonna be great. It's kind of like Masterclass. And I remember going on there and I thought about, what do I really like doing? I like communicating, and I've taken Clifton Strengths. My communication is my number two. I just like, I think you and I are similar. I like communicating. I like talking with people and listening, etc. And I saw Heroic Public Speaking with Michael and Amy Port on this platform, online platform, Creative Live. And I watched it and it was great. And I said, what else do these people do? So talk about value ladder. Now we're getting into the value ladder and the marketing part of it. Oh, what else do these people do? Oh, Michael is a famous author. Oh, I've actually read Book Yourself Solid. I read it like 5 years ago. He has another great book called Steal the Show. Phenomenal. About, like performing in business. And so I looked up their website. I go, oh, they have a program. Now, I had just committed to a year-long coach training program in New York that was about the same price as Heroic Public Speaking. Do that math. This is a large sum of money for my wife and I. And I still had a full-time job. So I remember saying to her, hey, I'm just going to talk to these people. I don't know what, it seems interesting. And I talked to Amy and I get the price tag. And I had this calling, I should do this. And then I had this calling as, you're effing crazy, dude. Like, that was my internal dialogue. I'm like, this is a lot of money. We have a 2-year-old. And no. So I said to my wife, I go, I'm just feeling called to do this thing. So I did my HPS journey the opposite of you, where I was still a full-time employee. I didn't really know why I did it, but I knew I had a calling for that skill. I love that skill. I always liked public speaking, but knew there's a lot to work on. I didn't understand all the things they teach at HPS. So then my journey is, I walk into that room on the first, the first weekend or the 4 days, I miss because the company I'm with gets acquired and then I go to Israel, which was great. And so I said, oh, wow, I just spent all this money and now I'm missing 25% of this program, which is also the part of the program that I hate the most, which is writing. I don't like writing. We've talked about this, writing my speech. So I showed up without any material. And worked with AJ, who I know you know as well, and got something down. But this was not a speech that I was thinking I would give. It was more how to practice with, which is a very strange thing. When you walk into that place and you go, whoa, there's this CEO of a $1 billion company. There's this retired Navy SEAL. There's these people that on the outside look like they are baller speakers. that are already doing these things. They just want to get better at the craft. Turns out some yes, some no. Other people kind of like me. Everybody's in their own journey. But I went to HPS without really knowing exactly why, just that I should. And what I got out of it is, one, the skills, amazing, lifelong friends. But what I got out of it, and I shared this with you and James and Robert, what I got out of it and the reason I was supposed to be there is I realized I could hang out in a room with people that I thought were so much more powerful than me and actually be their friends, and they related to me in the same way. Because I'd always related to myself as the sales guy. And let's call a spade a spade. Nobody really wants to talk about selling cybersecurity products unless you either buy those products or you are on the same team selling those products. But a lot of people like to talk about UOS or podcasting or how you grew a business and sold it in the fitness industry. So the biggest thing, it was a breakthrough for me was, wow, I actually can hang out with people that like I admire, and they actually admire something about me. Because Sean, to be true, honest, I'd never had that experience before because I've always been in corporate.
Yeah.
Where I didn't ever had to build a brand. I didn't really have to, you know, I mean, in corporate you do speaking, but it's not quite the same way. I think it's a little less performative. And so that was my journey. So I went through that program. I did HPS grad. It was 2018. And then from there, I went right into my coach training program. And looking back now, HPS is great for building my confidence there too. A lot of people in my coach training program could barely speak in front of a room. And I was a little nervous because that was a thing too. But so yeah, my journey was pretty much the opposite of yours. Didn't know why, just had a calling to do it.
And but I think there's something very important in what you said, though. And that is, you had that hunch, you had that calling, and you didn't ignore it, even though it didn't match anything that resonated with you at the time. It's like, if the ideas that we have, these hunches that we have, come in, if they match what we're doing now, it's not a very big idea. It's a very limiting idea. It matches what we do. So if it matches where you're at, it's not going to get you anywhere. So it's when we have these hunches that it's like, why am I going to a performance place when that does not match anything in my life right now? And I think that's the very important thing, is that you took that hunch and you took action and you did it. And again, you've grown from that, whether it was for public speaking part, but there was something in there that said, okay, you've got to go do this, and it benefits you. And again, you're growing, you're learning, you're getting bigger, you're getting better at what you do. And that's the same with me. It's like, I mean, I had a specific reason to go to HPS, but what I learned from there does not align with the reason I went there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I went there just for a quick little speech to get that, and I want to get better on stage. I didn't realize how big it really was and how much I could grow, and how much, if I really wanted to become a true keynote speaker, which I don't, that's not, you know, that wasn't my goal. Like, again, some of those people are there. They're there to be, you know, $50,000, keynote speakers. It's like high end, you know, that wasn't my goal. But the things that you learn, the things that you grow, that you take into other things, there's a reason why. I went to that core too, and you know, saw the price tag, and I'm like, nope. I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I need to, there's something that says I need to do this.
Nice value ladder, Heroic Public Speaking.
I'll tell you what, they have probably one of the best run high ticket, like, things that I've ever seen. Extremely well done. And it's a value. It's like you get your money's worth, but how they run a program, like if you're a coach, if you have very a coaching program, or you have a look into HPS, if not for speaking, just for how they run their company, because it is,
they run very it like well. They run it like Book Yourself Solid, using the Book Yourself Solid methodology, which Michael came up with 15 or almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah. So I will definitely be using the techniques and the things that I learned within HPS. And again, all the stuff that I've done over the past couple of years, it's all culminating into, again, the life that I want to live. And if we're doing things that don't get you closer to that ultimate goal, what are you doing them for? It's like, I was doing all these things that really didn't get me any closer to where I really wanted to be. And that just goes back to the, you know, to me, the number one question everyone needs is, what do you really want? And what's funny is you and I both know you'll get with someone who's new to coaching. You bring them in. It's like, what do you want? Well, I don't know. I want, you know, I want happiness, or I want a little more wealth. What don't you want? Well, I know I don't want X. I don't want Z. Oh, yeah. I don't want this. I don't want this. And the, you know, their hands literally come up. I don't want this. I don't want this.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you, thoughts become things.
Yeah.
If you know what Maybe. You don't want, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get exactly what you don't want.
Well, but, I'll say something, Sean. That question, what do you want? It's the first thing my who ended up being my coach for 9 months asked me. I said, what do you want? Like, but not like, you know, like, oh, what do you want? It was like, what do you want? And I'm sure recalling back to, oh, well, da, 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 da. She just goes, no, really, what do you want? And I remember sitting there, I'm like, and I hear this because I ask people this a lot too. No, people go, nobody really ever asked me that. Which is true. How often do we really, do you want? Yeah. Oh, like, I want more money. Like, what for? And then as you go deeper into that, and you get to the root of it, is that then this is the type of work that we do, is getting to the root of what people want, to get to the motivation, to have them stay the course, because it's way less work to not get what you truly want. So to get most of what you want, you can, I think for most smart people, you can get most of what you want without a ton of work. But to get what you truly want, there is that last, I don't know, and I'm making this up, 20%. It's a lot of work in the moment. I mean, athletes know this. Professional athletes know this. You can be 98% as good as the guy next to you, and you're not going to get what you want, which is maybe playing the NFL. It's those last 2%. You just reminded me of that question. I love that question. What do you want? I don't know. No, really. What do you want?
Yeah. And be specific. I mean, let's get into that little woo-woo world a little bit. It's like, if you ask the universe, if you tell the universe, I want more money, and a dollar shows up, the universe did this job. It's like, okay, Sean, there you go. I'm done.
Like, yes, I found that quarter in the couch. Yeah, nice.
My wife gave me another dollar for lunch today. Yay.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, Jason, I really want to, one, thank you for being on today, and to, you know, talk about, you know, some of the stuff that you do, your journey, but also really to thank you for being there. I mean, being who you are, doing what you do, again, over the past couple of years of being in the mastermind with you, and, you know, the live meetups that we do, it's like, man, it's from a personal standpoint, just thank you so much, because those truly are the things that move us in life. Those are the things that will matter 10 years from now. Those are the things that will resonate, that we will still be getting benefits from down the road. And it's, you know, those core, those intimate, those, it's like all the fences are down. It's like, we're just there to support. And it's like, so thank you for, one, hosting us in your great Airbnb. And I never thought I would say beautiful New Jersey, but beautiful New Jersey. And I know
there is some somewhere. Parts. There is some parts. Beautiful. Well, you're very welcome. Yeah.
I was thinking I was going to run into what, Snooki?
Oh, dear God. Yeah. Well, Sean, I want to, first of all, you're very welcome. Thank you for your friendship, your partnership, for being someone that doesn't have you. Well, and I'm just going to spoil this, and you can keep this in if you want, Sean, is, you know, I'm going to interview Sean, and we're going to talk about Sean's journey. You don't have to be sitting here doing this. You don't have to be a podcaster, a coach, all these, and I don't mean financially or anything else, but you have talents in many ways. You don't need to be creating this magic that you're creating in the world. You could be doing a lot of other things. So thank you for making a difference for people.
Oh, thank you. And that's a wrap on today's journey, and I hope you're leaving with valuable insight and a renewed sense of purpose. Remember, the people you surround yourself with can either lift you higher or drag you down, so choose wisely. And if today's episode sparked a light within you, share the love and spread the word. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast for more inspiring content, and visit us at thinkingbigcoaching.com for additional resources.
stay ambitious, keep thinking big, and I'll see you in the next episode.